Now, can you turn with me to Mark chapter 3? There's this little cameo story of Jesus at the synagogue, the crowds, the Pharisees, the Herodians, the man with the shriveled hand, and the controversy about whether or not the man should be healed on the Sabbath. And Jesus addresses that controversy very directly with his question, and he heals the man. Stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was completely restored. I'm interested in what was going on with the Pharisees, though, and with the condition of their hearts. Because we read in verse 5 of Mark chapter 3 that Jesus looked around at the Pharisees, particularly in anger, it says. You don't often see Jesus just explicitly being angry, but he looked round in anger and deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts. If you've got a King James Version, their hard hearts, their stubborn hearts. He said to the man, stretch out your hand. And it was completely restored. What is a stubborn heart? What is a hard heart? The idea for this message tonight came in the kitchen of the Church of Scotland Hall yesterday morning as we were washing dishes after the men's prayer breakfast. And I said to Malcolm, are you going to be in church tomorrow night? He said, yes. I said, what would you like me to preach on? And Malcolm, not because he was thinking of all the rest of you here, said, preach about hard hearts, because I've been meditating on this theme this week. What is a hard heart? So thanks to Malcolm for suggesting the topic, but it's very, very relevant. And all the more so because, as I mentioned in prayer, I'm sure you all know that Finlay McDermott had a heart attack at the beginning of the week. And we've been very concerned, obviously, for him, and very grateful for the treatment he received, and that he's showing good signs of recovery. But as we've been concerned for the condition of the heart of one of our congregation, I'm sure we probably gave thought to our own hearts. Because when someone has a heart attack, you think, I wonder how my old ticker's doing. And it's a natural thing to think. How is it doing? But I wonder if we went a bit further than that and thought, well, what is the spiritual condition of my heart? I'm not just interested in the medical condition, the moral, the physical condition, but what about the spiritual, the moral condition of my heart? And here, there's a crowd of people, and some of them have stubborn hearts. They've got hard hearts. Have we got hard hearts tonight? I want to try and diagnose that kind of heart condition tonight. I guess the opposite of a hard heart is a loving heart. Do you have a hard heart or a loving heart? It has far-reaching consequences, what the condition of our hearts are. Think about Jesus. His heart is beautiful towards all kinds of people, even really mean and horrible people like the Pharisees prove themselves to be here. He has compassion. On the other hand, think about the consequences of the heart of Pharaoh in the story of the Exodus. It keeps on saying that Pharaoh hardened his heart, and the consequences of the hardening of one man's heart were devastating for the whole nation of Egypt. And they suffered terribly under the plagues and also pursuing the Israelites and drowning in the sea, the army, because of one man's hard heart. On the other hand, Jesus' loving heart brings salvation to the world. So the condition of even one person's heart, for good or for evil, can be great. A few weeks ago, when we were thinking about the Bible and mental health, we saw in Ephesians 4 the condition Paul describes of the Gentiles' hearts. He speaks about the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts, Ephesians 4:18. The ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. So their hearts are hard, and it results in an ignorance of God. And often in the Old Testament, as we read in Jeremiah, the Jewish people are accused of having hard and stubborn hearts. And in Jeremiah's case, as we'll see studying it in the next few Sunday mornings, that led to the entire decimation of the nation of Judah and its exile to Babylon. So hardness of heart is a really serious matter. And Christian people are not immune from it. In Mark chapter 16, for example, Jesus rebukes the disciples for their hardness of heart and their slowness to believe those who had testified about his resurrection. They were hard-hearted too. And it has eternal consequences as well, not just consequences in this world. In Romans 2, Paul speaks about those who have hard and impenitent hearts are storing up wrath from God for themselves. So there's a lot to be said about the importance of having the right heart condition today, tonight, before God. So what's your heart condition before God? Are you loving and compassionately hearted? Are you hard-hearted? Let's examine our hearts. And again, we're not talking about anatomy. We're not talking about whether we're really talking about this beating organ in our chest or anything. What we're really interested in is what the phrase hardness of heart means, because it's not really about the beating heart or where the heart is or anything like that. We know what the actual meaning of the term is, and it's something that grieves Jesus, as it says in verse 5. He was deeply distressed, he was grieved, deeply grieved, and it therefore makes him angry. Verse 5, he was angry. So we're interested in what does this hardness of heart mean. Let's look at the symptoms of hardness of heart. And there's quite a few that we can find out even in this little passage. So if you're hard-hearted tonight, you're here, that's great, that's good. But you have an attitude of heart which says, I don't really need to listen to what God's word says tonight. I don't need to listen. We read Matthew's version of this story in Matthew 12, verse 10. The Pharisees look like they're wanting to listen, because they asked Jesus a question: is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? And it looks like they want to hear the answer. And Jesus gives them an answer. He says, well, you know, if one of you loses a sheep in a pit, you'd pull it out. Well, you're worth a lot more than sheep. So surely it's right to do good on the Sabbath to man as well as to sheep. That's his reasoning. And you can't really answer that. Of course it is. And then he heals the man. So you think up to that point the Pharisees have heard what Jesus is saying. They wanted to hear. But then we read, what do? They go out and plot to kill Jesus. So they weren't there to listen to Jesus. So if you have a hard heart tonight, you're not really here to listen to God and to his word. Second thing is, if you have a hard heart tonight, you're not thinking or you're not expecting to learn anything here. Because, again, the Pharisees, their attitude here is, you know, we know better than this man, Jesus. He can't teach us anything. So we're here in the synagogue and Jesus is speaking, but we're not expecting to learn anything from him. you're here tonight, then there is an attitude in your heart which says, I'm here, but I'm not expecting to learn anything from Roddy tonight. From Roddy's explanation of God's word. That's hard-heartedness. Next thing is, if you're hard-hearted, then you're saying to yourself, I don't really need to change tonight. Because that follows on from what we've already said. If you think like the Pharisees, who are stubborn in heart, as verse 5 says, that you don't need to listen and that you can't learn anything from Jesus here, then you're obviously thinking that you don't need to change in any way for Jesus. That nothing that Jesus says in their minds here is going to persuade them to change their lives in any way. That's the result of their hardness of heart. So if you have hardness of heart tonight, you're here tonight, but you're not in any way looking to change. You're not in any way looking to be challenged and to go away and have to do anything with what God's word says tonight. That's hardness of heart. Taking that a little bit further, if you're hard of heart tonight, then you don't feel that you have to admit any wrong in your life. In verse 4, Jesus asks the question, which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill? And it says, they remained silent. They didn't say anything. Because Jesus' question there, it presents them with clear evidence that their attitude is wrong. Their attitude, which in this case says, the Sabbath is not for healing. The Sabbath is something else. It's not a day for healing people. And Jesus shows them that that's wrong. But they're not at that point saying, oh, you're right, I think we should change our attitude here. And we've been wrong in the way we've been thinking about this. Thank you for pointing it out. And we're going to change. They're not like that at all. They're not in any way admitting they are wrong, and that's why they remain silent. Now, we can all play that game. It happens in families all the time. Families have their little arguments. Husband and wife, perhaps, or parents and children, and your spouse or your kids or whatever point out to you some flaw in your character, some mistake you've made, some sin you've committed in your conduct, and you just don't say anything. You're silent. Or even you get defensive and you answer. But what you should do, and you know it, is you say you're absolutely right. You win this day. You're absolutely right. And we should apologize and admit we're wrong. But we don't, because our hearts are hard. And it's not a trivial matter, as I said, because this is a picture of future judgment here. Because what happens here is Jesus Christ, who is going to judge the world, convicts the Pharisees of their sin here, tells them where they're wrong, and they can't answer them. They're silent. Instead of admitting they're wrong, they're silent. That is exactly what Paul says will happen on the day of judgment. Verse 19 of chapter 3 of Romans, we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God. So the law, the moral law of God, will judge us. Jesus will judge us by his law and by his word, and we won't be able to answer. He'll just go through the catalogue of our sins, and we won't be able to defend ourselves or contradict him. We'll just be silent. And that's what's actually a foretaste of it here in the Pharisees' case. They're silent because they don't have an answer. But because of their hard heart, they stay silent instead of admitting they're wrong. And if you're like that tonight, you're here tonight, and no matter what God's word does in your life, no matter how God speaks to you, no matter what he exposes in your life, you're not going to admit that you're wrong. You're hard-hearted. You're silent. Another symptom of hard-heartedness is we feel we don't need to care. We don't need to care. In this situation, there's a man in need. There's a man to be shown sympathy and compassion. He's got a withered hand. That's a serious handicap for his life. But there's no hint of the Pharisees showing any compassion to the man. It's not like they're interested in his well-being in any sense. He has a shriveled hand. They have a shriveled heart. And it's really ironic because their great concern is for the Sabbath. And what was the Sabbath? What was the Sabbath about? Well, the Sabbath was a compassionate provision from God. It is a compassionate provision from God. But they made it a burden. Because they added all kinds of trappings of rules and what you could and you couldn't do in the Sabbath day to the provision. These people, they needed their day of rest because they worked long, hard hours, and a day of rest was a great provision from God, a great compassionate provision. We need the same in our society. God sent our society the common sense to see that instead of this 24/7 way that we're working. But it's a compassionate provision for the good of man. But there was no compassion in the Pharisees because they were hard-hearted. And so they make the Sabbath, instead of a blessing, they make it a burden. They make it some way by which they, as the Pharisees who've set all these laws about the Sabbath, can exercise moral power over people and can signal their virtue to other people and show what great godly men they are and how they're keeping all these hundreds of laws about the Sabbath. They lost sight completely of the compassionate heart of God in the Sabbath. And that shows in their attitude to the man. There's no concern whatsoever for the man and his needs here. So if you're hard-hearted tonight, then you are lacking care for those in need. It's really the attitude of the spectator. To sum all this up so far, the spectator. Because in verse 2, you can see that's what the Pharisees think of themselves as being. It says, some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus. So they watched him closely, it says. And it's the word that's used there is like a word for keeping under observation. It's like surveillance. It's like something the police would do for a criminal or something. It's that kind of watching someone in order to catch them out. The attitude of a hostile spectator, perhaps someone who's at a football match and finds himself at they're visiting and they're at the home end, and so they're watching the opposing team, and they're just looking to find their faults, looking to reinforce their own antagonism towards the team. Or it's a bit like what we see sometimes when there's some incident and people ought to step in and help, but instead they get their phones out and they just film it, and they think themselves this will be a great little film to show my friends on WhatsApp or whatever. There's no sense of compassion. Forget the phone. Help. Compassion. Care. A hard-hearted person lacks that. A little bit more still to say. The hard-hearted person thinks, God is on my side. God is on my side. Because that's what they thought with regard to their view of the Sabbath. They thought, we've done the work in the Old Testament to find out what the Sabbath's about. We've come to the last word in understanding what the Sabbath is. We know what the Sabbath is. No one else knows like we know what the Sabbath is. And we'll impose our view of the Sabbath on everyone else. God's with us. We are his executors. We are his executives. We are the people who are carrying out his will in the world. I heard a quote this week from a theologian by the name of Walter Brueggemann. He said, if you get a final reading of a text, you will soon get a final solution. It's a really profound thing. If you get a final reading of a text, you will soon get a final solution. The final solution, of course, was the Nazis' desire to exterminate the Jews on the basis of their particular ideology. And the Pharisees had that. Exactly. They had an ideology which said that we know what the Bible says on this subject and we can apply that to Jesus and kill him. Final solution, get rid of him. Because we think that we have got the meaning that God has for the Sabbath. He's on our side. And so he opposes us, like Jesus does, and does something we don't think should happen on the Sabbath. We can act as God's spokespeople. We can act as those who enact God's will. We can go out and plan to kill Jesus. So a hard heart is a heart that thinks that we serve God, even when actually what we're doing is rejecting him. Thinks that God is on our side, when actually we're very far from him. Of course, sometimes the hard heart may mean we reject God deliberately. And I mentioned this in Plockton this morning. I call attention to the article David Robertson's written that's on the Free Church website just now about our society, Scotland, and its rejection of God and its ideology, which basically says if you're not seeing things the way we see things, this is a Scottish government, and society in general, really, if you're not seeing things the way we see them, especially with regard to sexuality, we'll do away with you. We'll silence you. It's an authoritarian state that's creeping up on us without us realising. It's sobering stuff. The hard heart thinks you've got the final word, whether it's God's word or the word of your ideology. And you can act as you please as a result of that. God's on my side. This is what the Pharisees thought. And because of that, the hard heart thinks it can pass judgments. And so in verse 2, they were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus. They thought they could pass judgments on Jesus. And ultimately, the hard heart thinks it's better than Jesus. They're judging the judge. And all that's left for these Pharisees, if they don't change their ways, is to see who's right on the day of judgment. who will be right on the day of judgment? They've judged the judge. They want to kill the judge. Ultimately, the judge is killed. But the judge is still going to judge. He's risen from the dead. He's at the right hand of God. He's coming to judge the world. Ultimately, whose heart will be right on the day of judgment? The heart of Jesus or the heart of these Pharisees? The heart of Jesus or your heart and mine? Their final chance in this story comes when Jesus heals the man. And the healing of the man should truly lead them to repentance. It should surely wake them up to say, we must have this wrong, because Jesus just healed this man's hand. Before their very eyes, that withered hand flourished and became whole. One, as Matthew says, became like the other. And it really is something only God can do. I wrote an article about this in the Church Record a few months ago, because I thought about this. The wonder of what God actually does in the healing of a hand. It's the actual things that are involved, from the brain, the nerves, the flesh, the sinews, the bones, everything that it takes to do a healing. Only God can heal. And surely it's a chance for them to say, this is the finger of God. So God must be with Jesus. We've got it wrong. But they still don't see it. So if tonight, despite all the things you've seen Jesus do, maybe you've seen him change people around you, maybe you've seen him work in people's lives around you, or maybe just even at his reading, the miracles of Jesus here, if despite all that you've seen Jesus do, like the Pharisees, you still don't admit you're wrong before him and receive him, it's because of your hardness of heart. And the only cure is to repent. It's the only cure is to recognize us tonight, and it is to just go to Jesus and say, Jesus, I have got it wrong. My heart is hard. I've been at this service tonight, and my heart's been described. My heart is like I come to church and I don't feel like I need to listen, or that I'm going to learn anything, or that I need to change in any way, or I need to admit wrong, or that I don't really need to care. I feel that I must be okay with you already. I can pass judgment on others, even on Jesus. Lord, have mercy upon me. We need to repent if that is what we see in our hearts tonight. But thankfully, the Lord cares. The Lord has a heart of love. The Lord's heart is soft. It's compassionate. It's compassionate for the man with the withered hand. He heals him. It's compassionate for the Pharisees. He tries to win them here. And it grieves him deeply when his efforts to reach out to them are rebuffed. He's compassionate for the Pharisees. He will go all the way to the cross and die on the cross for their sins. On that cross, he will pray to the Father that he would forgive them. That's how compassionate the heart of Jesus is. And he's compassionate for all the onlookers in the synagogue who witnessed this. And we are those onlookers tonight. He is compassionate for us as well. So if you find hardness of heart tonight in your life, it's the Lord who alone can remove that. It's only the Lord who can take that heart and make it a heart that is soft and loving and pliant towards him. Ezekiel 36, I will give you a new heart, God says, and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. God can do that for you and for me. And so tonight, if the diagnosis is hard-heartedness, surrender to Jesus. Surrender your life to Jesus. Admit that that's what he's found in your life. And surrender your life to him while there is the opportunity to do so. And ask him to put into your heart, or ask him to put into your life, a heart of flesh, a heart of compassion, and a heart that yields to him. Amen.